Thank you, Brother Joe Michelli. Romans chapter number 12 tonight. Romans 12 tonight. We're going to be starting in verse 3. We looked at the first couple of verses last week after the preacher boys got done. I was getting us all straightened out and taking care of us, and I was thankful for that. It was a good time, and I look forward to doing that again here. We looked at the mind. You can go on and on these first two verses, and one is exhortation, two is saying what needs to be done, the transforming of the mind. Our minds are just super interesting. They are. I mean, the way God built them is just amazing. And to continually think a thought, whether true or false, you can see that lived out in somebody's life. You can see how it affects them. You can see somebody that believes a lie, and you can see what it does to them physically, spiritually, emotionally, all these things. You can see it. And just by simply thinking on something else, the Bible exhorts us in Philippians to think on things that are true. You want to make sure you got the truth. I mean, and your whole life should be about seeking the truth. Pastor Robinson, he was just telling me, he's like, man, you guys got to find the truth. Find the truth. There's a lot of stuff out there. We got to figure out what's true. Find the truth. And then the Bible says we need to hang on to it. Don't let it go. Don't sell it. Don't give it up. Hang on to that. So we think about the truth. You say, well, I'm beat down because of things I have to go through. We're beat down by how we think about the things that we go through, not the events, because you can't change those. You can't change what's going to happen, what's going on. How am I going to handle those up here? How am I going to handle those? And the Bible tells us if we are conformed to the world, okay, it's not going to go so well for us, but it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That doesn't just happen. Like we talked about this morning, you have to make that choice. I'm going to make the choice to serve people. I'm going to make the choice to do the things that the Lord would have me to do. Even though it goes against what I want, it goes against my schedule, it goes against all these things. I remember as plain as plain. I go to Bible Institute, he was little. But when I was done, though, Jake was born. I just remember him like, don't go! I'd leave on Saturday, be gone all day, right? And I would be driving in, going to class, and we'd go there, and I'd pass all the guys going spring Chinook fishing and everything. I'm going one way, and they're all going the other, and I'm just thinking, it's a choice today, and you're thinking, what am I doing? That's gonna happen. That's natural. Everybody's gonna be like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Your friends would be like, well, why are you ruining your life? You're gonna miss out. And that's all they see. But no. Stay on things that are true, and you'll find out so many people miss. So many other people miss. So you feel, because you're like, oh, you're the only one. You're the only one. You're like, I am the only one. And you know why? The Bible says it's narrow. It's just narrow. It's straight. The Bible says straight, strict, whatever you want to use the words of the scripture. It's a narrow way. It's not a big way. Man, everybody's serving the Lord. Everybody. No. So you have to train yourself to do that. We're going to read verse 3 and ask the Lord to bless tonight. The Bible says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Father, we do pray that you bless tonight. You would help us tonight as we go through this. There's so many great messages in these, Lord, in these next six verses, Lord. We just thank you for it. And I pray that you'd help our hearts to land on where we need to be. And you'd show us tonight where we need the help and encouragement, or the ability to help, the exhortation to encourage others in this matter. We love you. We thank you so much for the great music tonight and the songs we're able to sing. What you've given up, what you did for us this time of year, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Great verse, verse 3. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And Corinthians tells us that, we have to watch it how we think, because we're fixing to fall. We're fixing to fall. We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But the Bible says to think soberly. Okay? Soberly is just like, just give it to me straight. Just what's true? Put it on the bottom shelf. What's the score, I like to say? Tell me the score, you know? Well, if we do really good, and then this happens, and this happens, and this happens, then it could be this. No, what is it right now? Like, where are we at right now? Well, you know, it's 4th and 20, and our quarterback's limping, and it's this and that, and you're like, oh, that's not good, right? We need some help, right? Yeah, everybody's like, oh, yeah, of course if they throw it 80 yards and score, then it's going to be great. But, hey, life's not. You know, you can look out and say, what's going on right now? What's the score? What does God have you here for? What's he going to use you for? Think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So faith comes from God. It comes from God. We see that in Galatians 2:20. The Bible tells us that it comes from him. He gives it to us. So God has given you a purpose, a reason to live, a skill set to use for him. Right? He had the kingdom. We were talking about this the other night. What were we talking about? Oh, names. We were talking about names going home. We're talking about names. I said, how did people get their last names? I think we were talking about last names in the Garner car the other night. And I said, I don't know, man. Somebody smarter than me knows this. But I said, back in the day, when you were in a small town, or everybody was in a village of people back in the day, everybody was, right? And so inside that group of people, you didn't have 20 blacksmiths, you had one, you had a smith, maybe two, right? Then you had the people that ground the wheat, you had the farmers, and I mean, the people at the mill were called the millers, and there's a lot of millers in the world, right? And then, then the smiths, why are there so many smiths? I mean, there was a lot of smith trades, I mean, blacksmiths and all these things. They had the smiths, why are there so many? There used to be a lot of trade people, right? And I played with a guy in college, his last name was Shoemaker, David Shoemaker. I mean, what do they do? Right? I mean, that's what they did. It had the last name, and you had if the place was bigger, it'd say where you were from. Oh, hey, that's Mr. Miller from wherever. And so they'd have their name and then where they were from. You don't get to be so many people. And now you look on the list, and you ever search your name on the internet just to look? I'm a black preacher down south. It's crazy, Keith Garner. There's one in England, this English preacher. I got to go and listen to him. Oh, he's old guys, right? But I'm just looking. I'm like, yeah, hey, all right, that might be good. You know, I don't know. Spelled exactly the same, right? I mean, not me, but there's a lot of people that say, well, there's a skill set each one of those people had in that setting, and their whole area worked. I mean, it fit together. In God's kingdom, he has skill set for you. He has gifts given to you. And this next session, we're not going to sit on gifts tonight. Where I want to get to is past that. But it's a very important set of scripture. Brother Anger, I mentioned him this morning. He's with the Lord now. He went to heaven on Friday. He was big on this, because he'd say, you know, so many people just flounder in Christianity because they don't know what they're supposed to do. They have no idea what, and they don't know what their gifts are. They never checked. And you can do the tests, and you can do the, I like this, this, and this. And yes, the best, you ask God and say, God, what would you have me to do? Like, I like this. I enjoy doing this. There is nothing better in life. Figuring out what you do, figuring out doing it, and just being like, this is the greatest. I can do this forever. This is wonderful. It is what God has given you to do. Now, so in here, there's a list of things that they have. There's lots of gifts that God gives. There's lots of abilities. And I try not to confuse the two. But in here, it's only going to have a certain amount of things. But look at them as kind of like big headings of categories type thing, right? In service for God, there's a lot of things you can do. There's a lot of things that you can do. God's given you the ability to craft, or given you the ability to do, to write, or given you the ability to sing. I mean, it just, whatever that is in service. Then you use that. You ask God, how would you have me to use that? Verse 4, the Bible says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, right? It'd be a strange town when you roll up and it's like there's 20 blacksmith shops, right? And there's no general store, right? There's no telegraph office, right? and there's no jailhouse, and there's no this and that, and everybody does the same thing. It would be strange. It would be really weird. Like, what's the deal here? No, everybody has a different office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, which means we're connected, which means we're a body, which means we all matter. You all matter. Say, why don't I know exactly? You still matter. Even if you don't know exactly what it is that God have you do, you matter. Now, verse 3, when it says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, if that's a faith as you believe this is what God would have you to do, then you just hit it. You just hit it. And I think of it like we get on our tailbacks back in football. I didn't watch football today, but I'm thinking about it. It's like, hit the hole! Right? We call it tiptoeing, we call it dancing, we call it whatever. I'm like, no, hit it! Okay? Go! I said, but there's guys there. I know, but you just go and you trust Bill and Jimmy and Johnny to get it done! And you hit it. And when they do, they believe and have faith. It's like, I trust, don't, and I'm going, right? And it's an awesome thing. It's great. The team is like, this is good. Oh, I don't know. Man, we can't live like that. You just got to go. There's some things you just need to go do. You just need to go try. And you're not, good, bad, or ugly, just go give it a shot for Jesus and say, boy, that was amazing. How do you know that you would be interested in mission? You've never gone anywhere outside your, we teach people never left the farm back home. You never leave the county. You never, I don't know what's out there. They said you drive off the end of the world. It's too far. Get out and see it. Mission trips are one of the worst for me because I'd come home and be like, we're leaving. Let's go. Like this was awesome, right? Because like, no, this is terrible. My wife and the Holy Ghost and a good preacher, right? Like, they kept me from flying apart, right? Because I was like, I could do this. This is awesome. It was like 110 degrees. Sweat till you're nothing awesome. But, I just looked and said, man, this would be so cool. I just never see a down day in Jesus' service. I just never see like, oh, man. You have to figure out what it is. And when you have that, when you know, the Bible says that you've been given that faith, go! Do it! So let's look at some of these things that they list here as we go through tonight. Verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Right? We all matter. We all count. We're all being, we all want to be used of God. 6 says, having then gifts differing according to grace that is given to us. Okay? God doesn't have to give you gifts to serve Him, but He does. That's grace. He doesn't have to give you the ability to do the things you do, but He chooses to. That's grace. Now think about this, okay? God calls, so many times here in the New Testament, Christ is doing examples of stewards, and He says, God dealt to this man this gift, or given this talent, and you can look at it as talent is, I'm talented. You can look at it as a 70-pound 65 or an 80 or whatever, if they pack around a talent of this, a talent of that, however you look at it, it's something that you didn't have that somebody gave to you, and then always asking, what'd you do with it? What did you do with the talent? Did you get rid of it? Did you carry it? Whether the one guy bury it and said, wow, you're a jerk, and I don't want you to make no money, so I just buried it, and I'll give it back to you again. Wonderful, right? And Jesus says, right on. He's like, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Well, I just thought you shouldn't be able to gain when you didn't do it. He supplies everything for us. Of course you should benefit because of us. Of course you should gain because of us. You've been given these talents, having been gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, okay? That's just preaching the word of God. Preaching it, okay? Prophecy, let us prophesy according to a proportion of faith. I had no idea, again, preaching, you could end up a lot of different places preaching. It doesn't say the gift of pastoring. It's different. And some stuff you just don't know until you're, you just kind of go and you just figure out, I like pastoring. That's a lot of fun. I just, when you're you get done with school and you're like, oh, I want to be a pastor. And it's like, I wish you had, I wish we had with them and we had the time machine, or the, not the time machine, the adventures, imagination station, and you just put them in here and you just show yourself getting wrung out over the years and all the things. Like, you want to be a pastor now? I was like, I don't know. It's pretty rough stuff, you know. That's pretty tough. But all it is you get in and you think, oh, I want to do it. I don't know. Pastor's like, well, what do you think you want to? I said, I don't know. I just know I need to preach. That's all I know. I know I need to preach. And so when you talk about prophecy, you need to preach. Does it mean you're going to be a pastor? Does it mean you're a missionary? Does it mean you're going to be a guest? They all preach, right? But different jobs. But again, so it's kind of like a heading like this. And the underneath, you let God figure those out. And you get godly counsel and you pray and said, well, I feel like I'm afraid to say this. I'm afraid to say it. I do know this. There's a lot of people that Satan would have you be blinded to your gifts. He would have you be ignorant to your gifts. He would have you be confused about what it is that you do so you're not effective in what you're supposed to do, right? Because he's like, man, we do not want you in God's strength doing what you're supposed to do against us, right? No, you should do this. We had a kid this year, you know, goofy year, but man, he ended up being one of the best linemen in our area. His freshman year, man, he wanted to play quarterback, and I said, son, it's just not in the cards, man. I don't know how to explain it to you. I mean, you're the biggest kid out here. It's just probably not going to happen. I was thinking to myself, you know, he's the big brother. He's got little brothers, and I know he's playing catch in the backyard. He told him what to do, and he was the quarterback. I know it, but I said, you're just not going to be here. And for 2 months, you just, you know how to look up to him, big kid. Come on. And then this year, the greatest year, 2 years, it's just great, just really grew and got better, but it was all up here. He figured out what he was supposed to be doing. He got plugged in the right spot. I said, we're not here to ruin your life for 4 years. We want to put you in the best place. And God knows your place. He knows your place. He knows what you're supposed to be doing. In Pasco, we had guys that were, like Brother Tom, we had guys that worked wood. It was awesome. You need done. You just gave it to them. Why? That was a band, man. They knew it. And they know how to use it for Jesus. It was great. We had guys that were just contract guys, and they'd go out and work a job and say, man, we got a project here. We got a missionary that needs it. Can we send you to go? Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. Right? Now go to Mexico and do electrical work. See, which wire is it? I took pictures in the Philippines. I mean, y'all see pictures of the electrical wire with shoes thrown over the top of that? Imagine Goodwill thrown over the top of that. The whole store thrown over the top of that wire. I mean, he took 1,000 wires and wrapped them around poles and stuff. And you're like, that one. I think it's like, Brother Ed is like, you're going down. I mean, go down there. I said, we just need somebody to build it. What's that? Say that again. Oh, yeah. The greatest thing ever. He said, a little tricky, but, you know, this is what it is. And he said, well, what are you talking about? It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a God given those abilities. Use them for the Lord. Use them for the Lord. It's all he's saying. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. The Bible says they're ministry. Ministry. We talked about this, I think it was this morning, we talked about that word minister. It just means serving. They're serving people. Ministry. Many people in God's service have this gift, the gift of ministry. Serving. Serving others. Helping. Let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching. I like to teach, but there's a bend that teachers have. Teachers are punctual. Teachers get their grades in it when they're supposed. These are all things that I like. I was like, oh, this old, I'll do it if I have to. This is terrible. It's like, I like the teaching part, right? It's like, there's all these things. Organization. Yes, I mean, the ruler gets the teacher. It's like, oh, all these things. And I had a coworker, and she just ride me day and night, you know, like, got your lessons plan? I can't even spell lesson plan. What are you talking about, lesson plan? Here's the book. We're just going to give it to them, you know. It wasn't fair. Like, I started working like a week before school started, and I didn't have a clue. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I got a year under my belt. I got this, like, here you go. And, oh, hey, would you mind teaching this too? Hey, you know, the more the merrier, as long as I'm on my feet. Might as well be doing something, right? And so you just get out of that stuff. The teachers, very important that we have people teach. You say, well, you have people preach. We have to teach, the Bible says in Matthew 28. We have to teach those, and we have to instruct them in the words of the Lord Jesus. It's huge. What goes on here on Sunday morning, it is huge. Sunday school is huge. It's a huge thing. What do you think kids have to rely on when they walk out and they tell their parents, you know, I'll see you, right? What's the teaching that they have to rely on besides at home? Okay, that they should be, you should be teaching kids at home. What do they have to rely on? Well, it's all those messages. No, it's Sunday school. That's what it is, your Sunday school teacher. Yeah, Sunday school. It's your Sunday school teacher. I'm just telling you, almost 40 years old, but I remember Alice Payton and all. I remember them all. I remember my aunt. I remember my mom. I remember Linda McKenna. I remember them all. Remember every lesson? No, but I remember faithfulness. And I remember dedication, and I remember those ladies giving you those truths, and I remember David throwing that rock up there, and everything was on felt, and it's all those things. I just remember all that stuff. Teacher, no, it's huge. It's huge. God's giving you a teaching gift. You need to use it. Verse 8, he that exhorteth, person that helps others get up off the side of the road and be like, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know, but it's this way. Let's go. Right? They're those people. I got some of that. So I'm just like, let's go. Well, we certainly can't just lay here and do this. This is embarrassing. I mean, it's terrible. I'd never wake up and be like, I'm just going to, you know, I did tell Chrissy though, we took a nap this afternoon and I said, if people got paid to sleep, I'd work overtime every day. Every day. I said, I would just, hey, just call me up. Every time over here, you know, all of a sudden after doing that, they're just they're like, oh, we got to go to church. We better go to church and praise the Lord. But you're exhorting people. You have to encourage people. It's hard sometimes. And they're just, or they dig their heels in, like, let's go. But if you look at a Christian life and you're trying to get down, like, you know, we're trying to get down the road. And people are getting distracted going that way. They're getting distracted going, the way is narrow and it's this way. And the exhorter's like, come on, let's go. Oh, shiny. No, don't look at that shiny. Get over here. That's the devil. And, oh, no, get over here. And you're trying to keep them in the way. Read Pilgrims. It's discouraging. Parts of it is just like, what are they doing? There's a field in China. I mean, they're just laying out and go to sleep. They're not hurt. They're not in danger. But there's no progress being made. And in Christianity, sometimes we can get to the point where, that's what I have to ask in Jesus every day. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What am I going to do today? You get in the zone of like, this is what I do. This is all I do. And we just assume and ask him. Ask him, what do you want? What would you have me to do? And you get up and you go. Those exhorters, they're big for that. Exhorters sometimes you don't like because you feel like, oh, I don't listen. He's not telling you what to do. He's encouraging you to get up and go and do something, right? And get going. He giveth. Let him do it with simplicity. The giving gift. He that ruleth with diligence, right? These are organized people. Rulers. They got it together. They know what's going on. They know what needs to be done. They have it all organized. They said, let's go. Let's do this thing. They're rulers. They have this ruling gift. They do it with diligence. But the Bible tells us we're going to be good stewards. We have to continue on with diligence. The Bible says, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We have the mercy gift, right? People that are always willing to come and like, oh, man, let me give you a hug. I'm just not that guy all the time, right? Some of my mercy stuff is like, are you bleeding? How bad is it? Well, there is no blood. You know what I'm thinking? Like, well, if there's no blood, keep the trauma for your mama. Thanks, Lily. I have said that before. She don't want to hear it. She don't want to hear it either. I'm like, let's go. I fell down. I got hurt. It's true. It's true. What she says, not a lie. We're those people. Verse 9. You get through those gifts. Okay? Get through those gifts. You'll be asking God. Don't come to me and say, what am I supposed to do? Right? And I'll give you something to do. But it's like you ask God and you read your Bible and say, you know, I really enjoy doing this. I had the opportunity to do this. Young people, you get an opportunity to serve. Just jump in and do it. You get an opportunity to say, not even under church stuff. You get a chance to work with somebody. Go do it. You never know what you might like to do. You're like, man, this was great. Or, you know, blow my thumb up bigger and make it big thumbs down, right? That was not cool, right? You almost want to put every young man in a ditch with a shovel and say, you won't be in that ditch very long and you won't like it, right? Because when you're 40, it's like, oh, I got to get up and get in the hole again. No, there's always going to be a ditch, right? Get out of there, right? And there's something you can do as a young person. You don't want to do as an old person. Verse 9, the Bible tells us, we're getting closer to our text verse we want to get to if we get there. Let love be without simulation. Simulation is just a word. It means hypocrisy. Let your love be true. Love somebody. Let it be true. Let it be seen. This is where we sit in our nation right now. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. The minute we give up on that, it's the same thing they dealt with back in the day. I mean, you think about it, right? They're all sitting there, and these guys are all wealthy guys, right? All these guys, men of fortunes. A lot of them lost their fortune. They go to the Revolutionary War. They help fund stuff. They help buy stuff. They won the war, and I was like, oh, we got our independence. They're penniless, some of them, right? Nothing left. Nobody talks about that, right? They had nothing left. They gave it all, but they sat there and said, we will not live like this. Won't do it. And your neighbor's like, well, the king, he just wants it. None of that. Right? If you want that, you get on a boat, and I'll build it for you, then I'll blow in your sail till you're back over there. Right? Don't talk. Okay? But it's the mindset. Oh, what can we do? I don't want to hear it. I don't hear this. What can we do? We can pray. We got the God of heaven watching our little tiny ball that we live in and watching us in our country be schmucks. And we're just as guilty as the people doing wrong when we won't stand up for what is right. Absolutely wrong. Say, well, can we stand up for right and pray for right? You don't have to riot. You don't have to riot. The people in Wisconsin right now, all they're doing is standing outside state buildings holding flags in the cold. And the people are like, well, why are you here? It's like, this is all we can do. We're standing up for right. This is what the country stands for. It's cold out here, man. I was like, yeah, we're right next to the Canadian border. It's cold, right? But we're standing here because we care. We're standing here because what we've done, we believe it's true. The Bible tells us abhor. It means to have extreme hatred for those things that are evil. Evil just means it's just bad. Bad, bad, bad. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, this is the cleave which has come together, right? There's the cleave where you're cutting, and there's the cleave where you come together. This is the come together. Cleave to that which is good. Hang on to it. Don't let it go. Hang on to that thing. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. And that relationship needs to be honorable, people, between church members and church and folks at all. It says honorable, right? You honor those people in your life. You don't use them. You prefer them, and then you honor them and keep it honorable. The Bible tells us how we're supposed to have relations in church. When you're looking up to a lady that is your age or similar, she's like a sister to you, right? I grew up, I had sisters. They were younger than me. Dad was like, you better watch out for your sister, right? If I hear that anybody's, and you're going to, whatever, right? And I was like, I think I was in seventh grade, and Lacey was a year behind me. It's just as we went to somebody called me and said, hey, we had a little thing going on with your sister, and all. I said, now what happened? Well, this guy was drinking at the water fountain, and he got some water in his mouth. He turned around and he spit it on my sister, right? Oh, she bloodied his nose, like right there in the hallway. It's like, what does she do? Well, she's a sergeant with Montana Highway Patrol. I mean, that's what she does. And it's like, just like, never had these sisters. How? It's just like, hold still while I'm reloading. Oh, man, Mike. Just is what it is, brother. I mean, when they get together for the holidays, everybody brings their pieces. And they're shooting trap or whatever it is. And, what did they do Thanksgiving? They were shooting clay pigeons or doing something, and mom said the neighbor called. It's like, yep, we just got done praying for Thanksgiving meal, and all the guns started shooting. It said, just felt like America today. And I said, yeah, that's kind of what goes on there. But man, that relationship. So inside the church, if they're your age, they're your sister, honorable. There's sexual sin stuff that goes on in church. It's like, what's going on? That's not honorable. You're not looking at them the right way. That's not honorable. Keep it honorable. Women that are older than you, men, what are you supposed to do? And treat them as mothers. Right. Can I use you for an example, Miss Dieta? Got Miss Dieta, right? Miss Dieta does something or says something or whatever. Right, well, Miss, I'm the preacher. I'm just going to tell. Do I talk to my mother that way? I better not. She's 3,000 miles away. She slapped me on my head, and she's like 5'5". And she's like, I don't want to mess with my mom, right? So I better not. You know what I'm saying? It's the mindset. to look up to those people older and say, that's like your mother. Keep that relationship honorable. This is a Christian living type chapter here, but we're trying to get down to verse number 16. We can get there. Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Right? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Don't be a sloth. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. We sang it tonight. We pray. Did we pray about it? Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints. What I love about this church is we have help. I love it. I had met with this was unofficial, it was on a tackle-related opportunity, but I met with a guy that works with, he's an investigator out in the valley. And a great guy, probably my age, little man. Yeah, my age. And, you know, we're just talking about different stuff and told the pastor that you get, and we're talking about the Lord and Christian guy goes to church. And I said, we just got talking. I said, the church doesn't get used enough. He's like, we were just talking about that the other day at work. He's like, we don't use churches enough. And I'm like, I know. So if people need help, call a church. People got to look in the book for government program. Call people a church. If there are people in the local area, help people. We rely on the government. If people don't rely on the Lord, who else is there? I don't want to rely on the government. But the church, and that's the old way, but that was the way. Distributing to the net. Now, these are the saints, distributing to the necessity of the saints. We watch out for the people around us. Given to hospitality. You host people. You help people. That's one of the things I always want to do while we're here in this church is help people. It's the missionaries. Be hospitable to them. Have them in. Give them a place to stay. Take them out. Whatever we can do. If we can't support them on a monthly deal, but we can support their ministry and their work. Be hospitable to them. I mean, put yourself in a missionary kid's shoes, right? Especially on deputation. You're bouncing around, you know. You're like the Lord. No certain dwelling place, right? Everything's up and down. You're here. You're there. And you hear your mom and dad. It's like, well, they give a love offering? No. Oh, I don't know what it is. So mom and dad aren't happy or they're whatever this is. But you come to this church and people are just super friendly and they're kind and they take care of you and they help you and they do this and they're not, and they say, man, we're praying for you. And think like, that was awesome. What a lift! What'd that cost you? Oh, being hospitable. Oh, it just broke me. Just broke me. I just had to be kind. I just had to think about it. Be hospitable and think about it. I felt like a heel when the kings came through. I thought it was him and his wife. And I thought they had one. They had like 21. No, they didn't. They had six kids. I'm like, Lord, I had one room for them at the hotel. And I told them, like, I'm so sorry. I was like, can I get you another room too? And I know how parents. Oh no, we're good. We're loving it. We're having a great time. They loved the life. They went from here to Seward, saw the ocean. They thought they're on top of the world. They thought, this is awesome. Come from Bonner Spray Idaho. They're like, this is great. Wonderful. What's it cost you? Some hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, right? We're not in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but hey, don't get after those people. Bless them that persecute you. Bible says, curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. What Jesus did. Yes, he could have kept Lazarus from dying. And then he cried with them. Why? He loved them. Were they all excited he died? No! Right? So he was where they were. He was where they were. Bible says he wept. Weep with them that weep. Verse 16, finally, I knew we were going to get here. I knew it. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Verse 3 says, not to think of himself. Okay? To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. Verse 16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. We hit on it in Sunday school this morning. Partiality in judgment, partiality in living, partiality in your relationships. I will be kind to this person because they're kind to me back. Or I like this person better than this person. We were talking about it with the reference to kids, and you know, especially like Christmas time and stuff, and got a bunch of kids or whatever, and you're like, well, I got to get gifts for the kids. Or we're looking at the Old Testament, and we looked at where the Bible says that Jacob loved Esau. And then it said, Rebecca loved Jacob. Problems. And then we saw where Jacob loved Joseph. Was Joseph the only boy in that family? No, there's a pile of them, right? And young people, remember this. What did they want to do to Joseph, right? Yeah. It took them a while. They would find a hole in the ground. It's going to be the biggest one we can find. And they were looking, and to kill your brother, that's pretty bad, right? But we had parents there that weren't treating. Y'all watch out for that. Grandparents, watch out for that. Watch out. Fight it like the plague. Fight it like the plague. Watch out for saying, you're my favorite this. And I said, a youth example, I try not to say those types of things, but if I get one of my kids, I'll say, like Lily, I'll tell Lily, you're my favorite, and I'll say child, right? Because then that would be, I'd say, you're my favorite daughter, my favorite girl. Yeah. There's only one, you know, I said, that's, you know. So I can't say, Sam, you're my favorite son, right? That wouldn't be good, you know. He would live a short life, you know. I've got two older ones. We'll bump him off. But I say, you're my favorite Sam. And you're the best Sam. You're my favorite Sam ever. You're my favorite Jake. And you got to make them all feel like a million, but boy, you can't, because God doesn't do that. God looks down at all of us and says, "Well, I sure like that one better. I like that preacher of the gospel better. You know what? This lady that's down and out over here, she's trash. But this gospel preacher over here, God don't work that way. You may think that way in your mind, but that's not how God works. That's why a gospel preacher needs to come over here and condescend to people of low estate. That means you may be in a position over here, but give that up and come down here and don't be conceited and think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Get out there and help her and show her Christ. Get out there and help him and show him Christ. Well, he's just this. He's just going to do it again. Get down there and do it. God kept going back to Peter. Kept going back to him. He knew. I don't know him. That blankety blank Christ, I don't know him. Right? That was what he said. I don't know him. I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. God kept coming back to him. He's like, yeah, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Broke old Tucky, old fisherman, man. He broke him down. He was just crying and crying and crying. I'm going to do it. Hey, but Pentecost came. And Peter said, Jesus loves me. This I know. For he has told me so. Right? He got up and just preached. And he did it. Wonderful, wonderful. Be of the same mind, one to another. Young people, do not. I'll just tell you, I'll save you some headache. Don't have best friends. My best friend in the whole world. Your best friend may wake up on the wrong side of the bed. They may say something to you at school that you don't like, or they may say something, oh, I was left out, right? And parents all know this, because they're like, what's wrong with so-and-so? Well, something happened at school today. And like I said, it's usually not grades. It's usually not whatever, it's usually friends. I wasn't included. You know, Billy, Johnny, and whoever else, and they all got invited to my birthday party, but I didn't get invited. I thought I was his friend. Well, Mom said only three could come, so they're only three. Then he got a pick, and then, tough. It's hard. Jesus doesn't do that. He wants everybody. You got to choose Jesus, but he looks down at everybody. The same, verse 16, we're done. Be of the same mind, one toward another. You get a chance to pick the teams on the recess, out at recess. Remember that. I'm an underdog guy. I would take a pack of nothings and nobodies. Just give me down. Give me, I'll make sure to get up and go. I'm not looking for, give me all the thoroughbreds and give me all. They all kind of got an idea anyway. And you get a talented bunch or whatever, and yeah, you steer them in the right way and you win and you be, okay, wonderful. You have the best talent out there. Good job. Wonderful. You won. Great. You get a bunch of people, they don't know what they're doing. And you kind of get them in, get them taught up, get them coached up. You get them working together as a group and say, look, none of you are more important than the other guy. You got to do your job, and you got to do your job, and you got to do your job. And they all do their job together. And they do something right, and you're like, this is awesome. This is great. But if you go and say, well, we're going to take you, and you, yeah, you, sorry, pal. It's yours. Yeah. How are you going to lift people up that way? What is success? Winning? Right? What's winning in Christianity? I see it as bringing glory to God. Where does a person have to be there? For some, bringing glory to God is just coming through those doors. Because you got to look and see where they're at in their life. Well, I come through the door. Yeah, I know. But you're farther along. You're farther down that road than this person is. Just coming through the doors brings glory to God. Just thinking about God. Oh, now they're going to read the Bible? This is huge. I read my Bible. We should. I pray. We should. Yes. I think about others. Oh, this is getting good, right? I want to serve the Lord. Oh, wonderful. This is great, right? And as we progress down the road, God doesn't look at me and say, boy, no. Well, there's a lot of potential there if they're giving me their heart. If they'll serve me or serve themselves. Who knows what kind of ministry God have for you if you just ask him. Look at all these gifts here tonight. We're done. He tells us how to, you know, do this. I mean, you can look at the scripture and say, be kind, distribute to necessity of the saints, be hospitable, all these things. Or it can become your mindset like we talked about this morning, and you're looking for an opportunity to help somebody. You see somebody in need this season. You see somebody crying for no reason. You see something and God's saying, go pray with them. Hey, are you okay? Are you all right? There's two times in my life I kicked myself. I didn't go and, but I don't want to butt in and I don't want to be awkward. Just be awkward. Just go over there and say, can I pray for you? Can I just pray? You just look like you need some help, or do you need help? Or just go do it. And you don't know, say, God, I'm helping you find your gift right there, but you let something else. Oh, I don't want to do that. That was one of your opportunities. Figure out what it is that God has for you to do. Let's stand tonight. We'll sing our song of invitation. His way with thee, 290. Or no, I'm sorry. Israel on the altar, 293. God's got a plan for you. Young people, God's got a plan for you. I promise you. All that book's not there for no reason. He's got a plan for you. Say, what does God want for me to do? Got to ask him. Got to ask him. He's got a spot for you. He has a place for you. He has a ministry for you. How are you with some of these things? Do we look at people and we sort them out based on what they can do for us? Or do we look at them and say, man, that's an opportunity to serve God right there. That's an opportunity. Yes, it's going to be a pain in the neck. Yes, I'm not going to, man, it's just in the flesh. I don't want to do it. It's going to take time. It's going to take resources. It's going to take love. But hey, I'm representing God here on this earth. 293, Israel all on the altar. We'll sing tonight.